Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello and welcome to Awakenings. Yes, it is great to connect with all of you here. Hello in the chat, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. My co-pilots helping to aid energy, ground the energy. It's wonderful to connect with everyone in this sacred time, sacred space called now. Really is a sacred space, isn't it? And a sacred time. Hello to everyone listening via iTunes and, of course, the archives and listeners listening via Cosmic Dimensions. I'm Michelle, your host and co-pilot here. Always wonderful to connect with everybody every Wednesday. And remember, we have readings 12 to 12:45 Pacific time. Or we'll answer questions, comments. I will also answer email questions, etc. And the number for all of that, the call-in number, etc., and etc., because you can call, there can be many reasons why you call in. So one of them is readings, of course. Questions, comments, let us know how you're doing on the path of awakening, shifting, and what awakening means to you. In fact, I'd love to open the conversation for our Awakenings Radio Facebook page. Let us know what awakening means to you. How are you experiencing the awakening or shifts of awakening? Which I really do love is a lot of people I've been connecting with lately are saying, oh, right, it's not just one shift. I can feel myself more and more awake or more and more understanding or more and more connected or more and more is happening in my life that I'm alignment. Those are the kinds of things that come with the succession of awakenings. And part of that awakening is becoming more us, becoming more our true nature. I've got to tell you, oh, and also I do see callers on the line. If you did want to get on air, did you have a question or a comment or a reading, please press 1 on the keypad. And again, that call-in number, 347-539-5122, and press 1. Yeah. Let's me know that you want to get on air, that you want to be heard. It's so important. One of the things, which brings me to a couple little comments I want to connect with about email questions, but I want to touch on part of, well, let me go to this first. Wonderful message from Jacqueline in Adelaide that says that she's listens to the podcast. She's been listening about 2 years. Oh, actually, she used to listen to a variety of podcasts, spiritual and mainstream, until about 2 years ago. I only listened to you. You are the best. I like hearing that. So she said she also listens at night, a lot of health problems, and she's frequently awake at night. Get a healing circle, okay, the light healing circle that I do in some of my... Anyway, she says she listens at night. I love it. You comfort me and make me smile. I love your show. I look forward to the new download. I frequently listen to each episode many times. I'm surprised that we're in here each time. Thank you very much for your wonderful love, light, and that you shine so brightly. Thank you for that. So we still are doing where and how you listen to Awakenings. You can email us at awakenings@selfenlight.com. And we have asked for those that do couple of MP3s that I will send out or have Sadie send out. So we want to just thank you, just a little warm appreciation and thank you. what I wanted to get to is this idea of, you know, I've been getting questions about consciousness, or what is consciousness. These awakenings seem to be happening in a succession of awakenings. It doesn't seem that it's just one, you know, beginning, or I'm having so many shifts in my life. And along with them, finding good, that you're seeing that lost sound. I still am registering. I have sound. Could you reboot or refresh? Let me know if someone else lost sound. That's space empowerment. My co-pilot say, "Oh, you're back. Oh, good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me know. Let me know, because I can't always tell. Sometimes I'm talking on and on and on, and then oops, I've been disconnected. So, but here, it's good when you get to the point in your path, the path of soul alignment, which is ultimately what it is, you know, and I'll call it alert names, because this great shift, this great transition that we're all in individually, collectively, does, you know, affect us, or there's an integration in a lot of different levels. It's not just spiritual, it's all systems of thought, it's systems of relating, relations, focuses. A key component of the awakening or the shift is allowing the new emerging consciousness to come through us and as us, this coming, this updating, this emergence. It's also known as the emergence. What wants to emerge or come through us is coming from a higher aspect of us that has less, let's say, disrepair, less fragmentation. We are getting more and more to the soul level. That's the great soulman, where there'll be less and less of the constructed ego from unhealed or handled traumas, wounding, with the idea of false separation, you know, because we are separated, we're separated out, but we're separate. You know, it's like rays of light. It comes from one sun source. In essence, that is part of the awakening, is that realization that we may be separate. We're extending out to experience our individuality, to find what matters to us and live from that, create from that space. But we're not all alone here. There are varying degrees of love or connectedness. And what people will also begin to see, that they're opposite to love. I really saw a misnomer the other day on the Twitter feed that fear is the opposite to love. That was one that I just... Okay, I'm back, and I just got some emails. Some people were booted out of the chat, so I'm not sure what's going on with either phone lines or BTR, but we will work through it. Anyway, what I was saying was interesting, and Tamara, maybe you had a premonition that I was going to get you were losing sound. Maybe you were having a premonition that I was getting booted out. I just got booted out, but I'm back. One of the things that you'll begin to realize with the awakening, if you're not hearing the sound, please refresh your browser or reload, and that will. Boy, it's interesting wanting to talk about the separation, no separation, and keep getting booted off. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. Let me know. I think we're still on. Yeah. But you'll begin to see that there really is no opposite to love. There, fear is not the opposite of love. There is no opposite. And love has varying degrees or octaves, just like everything else does. There's lower octaves, mid octaves, higher octaves of expression or experience, or of energy and motion, of emotions or feelings. So what you'll begin to realize, and getting a lot of feedback on this, that in the succession of awakenings, as one becomes more awake in more and more of their life, you begin to see that there is, you're not living out those extremes, extreme polarities anymore. And really, like the Buddha say, you get it, you become that center point. You move into that center point of awareness. And that is, at one point, that soul alignment, our ego personality becomes fused with the soul. It's a seamless expression, so that you are expressing your soul design, your soul template, your true nature is another way to look at it. So one thing that is really, really important, I've been talking about this on the Telus Soul Path groups, which I'm absolutely loving doing those, and also the in-person ones. And I'll keep listing them on the Awakenings radio page, Awakenings with Michelle Mache on Facebook. There we have some people been booted out. I'll keep listing those because it's a wonderful way to connect. There's a lot of great information, great people that, are a part of it. And I'm getting a lot of feedback. Oh, my God, I've never done meditations or, any kind of inner work like that. And part of that is I'm doing a lot of shamanic inner work, and plus some of the information that's very new and processing from that I received from my guides, the Oversoul Spiritual Hierarchy, about working with the subtle energy and some specific ways to connect you more to you and your higher nature, if you will, or aspect of self ends up taking over for you. And it's a wonderful guidance. But that is the new emerging consciousness, way of living and being is by resonance. It's more by resonance and allowing what is emerging and then responding to that and co-creating from that space, because that co-creation is with you, obviously, in your higher self. So it's learning how to become more receptive to that. That is to that, and how to read the map, read the design, interpret the signs. But it's all coming from you. It's a co-creative process, healing and alignment process. And people, I had somebody email me that, their sinuses were cleared up. Somebody released asthma. Someone, a new job, a relationship, so insights, openings. And the thing is it's coming from each individual. It's coming from us collectively, from our soul selves. But it's coming from that aspect where we connect in, when we converge into that aspect where we are all one. So in a way, it is each person facilitating their own healing process, whatever that is for them, whatever it's different for each individual. All right. One thing I want to touch on, and we'll get to the phone lines, is that one of the things that is really important, I mean, a lot of things, but as you're living more from the heart, as you are connecting more in a heart expanded way, heartfelt way, what also is important is not just seeing and feeling from the heart, but speaking from the heart. So from that standpoint, it is really important that you speak your truth, that you also speak up. And that's one of the things I'm really wanting to foster and facilitate in these Soul Path groups and workshops, whether they're the ones via phone, the tele ones, or in person, is that you start speaking. This is what I see. This is what I'm going through. That you allow that wisdom, that is you, that's coming from the higher nature, to come through. That you share with others. Because this is the connecting. This is how we all connect further in more heart-connected ways, is to express what each person is going through and what's working for you. What is new. Obviously what's not working, what's difficult or what's a challenge or what's, horrible, or if you have, illness or health things going on. But then to open up to notice what is working, and then to share that. We had such good feedback on the last group that people were saying they loved hearing what each person was going through and how they were getting through their particular challenge or unfolding and what was working. And so many people had told me, oh, gosh, I can't believe people are going through the same thing I'm going through. You know, it still is quite... you know, it still is quite amazing for people, you know, to hear that others are going through what we're going through. You know, it's there's something about this human experience, this we are, you know, consciousness made manifest, this manifestation, that it even fosters great healing and understanding when we hear others are going through something that we're going through or something similar, or we can learn from others. It keeps it fresh and not static. You know, this experience is meant to be movable, moldable, flexible. Okay, I do see callers. If you do have a question or a comment, the number is 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on the keypad to let me know you want to get on air. Hello, Kat. You're on Awakening.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Welcome.
Thanks.
Welcome, welcome.
I kind of chimed in late on the what you were talking about.
Yeah, there's just been, I don't know, there's been some interesting little glitches today. With the... not sure what's going on, but you're here. You're here, so that's good, Kat. So, did you have a question or a comment or something you'd like to share?
I didn't know what you were talking about. Talking about the spiritual awakening.
You didn't know what?
What you were talking about, because I just got on a little while ago.
Oh, well, did you have a question? Well, I saw you on air. Did you have, and you had pressed 1 on the keypad. I don't know if you had a question or did you, a reading?
Sorry.
Did you have something?
Are you reading today?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. We do readings every week, 12 to 12:45.
Okay.
So what's your question?
My question is, ringing in is just wrong.
Oops, you're wiggling in and out a little bit. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Let's see, try it again. Oh, that's better. That's better.
The ring ears that won't stop.
You have what?
Ringing ears.
Ringing ears. Ooh, and when did that start?
February.
Okay.
And doctor after doctor.
Is it high pitched?
Yes.
Yeah, there's
thousands of bees.
Kat, can you do me a favor and call back in, or maybe there's a movement. I'm not sure if you're calling in on a Skype, but I'm getting probably every third or fourth word. I'm not even getting every second word. Can you call back in?
Okay.
Good. Okay. Perfect. All right. And do we have any other people that, we're waiting to get on air? I see 8 of, Kat, if you call back. Yeah. Hello. 803-231, did you have a question or a comment? Whoops. No, there it is. 830, let's see, okay. Hello, 832-247, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
I just tuned in. I was listening.
Oh, great. Oh, you're listening. Okay, because I saw 1 on the keypad. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. That's okay. That's all right. Okay. So waiting for Kat to come back. Yeah, if you press 1 on the keypad, you get on air. Well, I just know. It signals me that you have a question or comment. Okay. Hopefully Kat's calling back in. 803-231, did you have a question or a comment? 803-231. Okay. And 808-497. Okay, I'm checking because we got a lot. Okay, there's Kat is back. Yeah, so if you would like to get on air, if you have a question or a comment or you'd like a reading, just press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know, and that gets you in the queue, and that lets me know that you want to get on air. All right, so here's Kat is back.
And I'm
Kat
on
Brady. Oh, you are okay, but it sounds clear. It sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, I got a couple things as I tune in on you. One thing I do get, did they talk to you about some kind of, did you have a virus?
No, well, they didn't tell me about it.
Were you a little bit, ill? I would say December, January, it would have been maybe about 3 weeks beforehand, maybe 5 or 6 at the most.
I had a sinus infection.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That I was saying like a cold. That I feel has triggered something, okay, some kind of imbalance. Let's see. You've been trying everything.
Even though I don't feel dizzy or anything.
Yeah, there's a residue. Let me just see what it seemed like something. Well, you had a sinus, and I felt head cold. So
right,
virus, head cold, something I feel in that area. And some of it now, that what was going on around that time? Were you more inward or going through a lot emotionally as well? Because I also feel like there's new information trying to come through, or you're somehow being asked to. I keep hearing rebalance.
I think I discovered my spiritual awakening.
Ah, okay. So you need to somehow integrate that more in your life, is what I'm hearing, the spiritual aspect of you. The higher self is saying. Sometimes this happens. Sometimes there can be. Intermittent, not all the time, but a high-pitched ringing. And a lot of times what you want to do is duplicate that with your voice. You know, it's interesting, we were talking earlier, I was mentioning about vocalizing, that you want to, in the soul alignment, you want to be able to begin to vocalize your truth, your path, your understanding more, your wisdom more. But one of the things that we can do that is using our voice or our sound as our own healing. So when you're hearing that high-pitched sound,
mm-hmm.
is to tone with it, own with it. You're hearing the, So if you're hearing that, then you do it yourself. And match it. And that will begin to help, yes, that will begin to help the balancing out. A lot of times that comes in when we move into another dimension of awareness, when there's been an expansion, when there's more insight, more awareness coming in. It's also key to listen to our own internal timing, our own inner rhythm, listen to our own inner guidance. But one way to listen is to vocalize, to hear our own sound. So a lot of times that can be our sound being played back to us, our tone.
Yeah, because my work to do, and I'm reading kind of and just doing different things.
It's what insane? I heard the last part. What is it?
I'm just reading books, crystals, just experimenting.
Yes. Well, that's a call. So work with your sound, your tone, your own voice, vocalizing when it happens. Just stop where you are. You know, stand, if you're standing or sitting, feet on, like a meditation, get in a meditated posture or asana, and match the sound. And then call back and let us know how you're doing with this, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know if you were listening, but at one point had Simon Ashan on, who is a musician, and healer as well. Has amazing CD out of healing music. And we both had it happen on air. We were talking. It was in the interview. We both stopped, and we just sounded together. We did the sound. We both. He's in Australia or New Zealand. I'm in, you know, Los Angeles, California. We both at the same time, our ears started ringing, and we both sounded together. So try that cat and let us know. Okay, I'm having trouble getting people online. I'm clicking, and it's, aha, here we come, here we come. 818-421, welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle, it's Sadie.
Hey, Sadie, welcome.
I have a question for you. It's regarding where I'm living right now. I've been having a heck of a time with our management, our property management, to get our carpets replaced and get us taken care of. Like, it's just been going round and round and round, and it's getting really old, and I don't know. Like,
well,
I tried.
You guys are I feel you're moving at some point. I mean, I would say the earliest would be Sag time. It may be even, but more likely later. And I feel a move out of the area.
Really?
Yeah. Are you wanting to move?
No.
Ah.
There's a unit next door to us that is available that they can't rent out, that they want us to take over. And it would give us more space. And the where we are and what we're paying right now is excellent. And it's great with the school system that Syra's in.
Well, this isn't immediate. That's why I said the soonest would be Sag. I think you're going to start looking. There is something about another area coming in for you, but it's not immediate. I do feel like a huge lifestyle change. Or maybe the one that's coming sooner, I just looked at it, is Sag time. So maybe you're doing that move first. When is your daughter, is she 5 yet?
November, she'll be 5.
Ah, okay. So I was going to say it's right around the birth date. So you could move to that other unit if that's, is that what you're wanting?
Yeah, that's what our plan is, because our budget, with our location with where we're at and the budget works really, really well. It's just the property management people that are just really cheap, and we're just having to not play, we're having to play hardball now. And
yeah.
You
will, but that's why I'm saying eventually you're going to be out of that area, because I don't feel the people that you're, the property, you're dealing with it now.
Yeah.
I also am seeing Lixia raise for your husband, so I do feel it could be more into mid, maybe even at the most end of next year, maybe more even summer. I do feel you're going to, you'll probably do one more move there is what I'm hearing, but I do feel after the, you're not long there. I don't see years there. And
okay.
And part of it is you're just not going to want to deal, not only with the management I'm hearing, but also some of the people that are there or some of the rules, some of the things that are changing. There could be somebody, I don't know, too much into your business, too much talking to you, I don't know. There's something boundary-wise there that's...
Okay.
I see some changes too, but it's not immediate.
Okay.
It's good for now, but your consciousness is expanding, and where consciousness goes or expands to, we follow.
Okay.
So you're not going to want to deal with these little things after a while, but you're good now. It's a good place. It's what I'm hearing. It's not ideal, but it's good for the now. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So work with it, you know, clean the carpets, do what you have to, make do, work with it, and really expand and build there, you know, build and get strong there, so when the new opportunities next year come, which probably starts around May or June.
Okay.
All right? That makes sense?
All right. Yes.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Hi, 917-601. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
What?
This is Anna. Yes.
Susanna. Hi, Susanna.
No, Anna.
Oh, Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi. I'm in California. I kind of just sublet my apartment and walked away from it in New York, and I'm in California kind of floating, and I know there are many things I could be getting done, and I don't seem terribly focused, but I don't seem to mind it terribly. I'm just kind of going with the flow and enjoying being in nature, and I'm wondering if there's something I'm missing.
No, you're in the you're listening to what you need to be doing, and it's showing a lot of self nurturing, self care, self appreciation, self love, self savoring. You're savoring in your experience of and the change that you just made. So no, you're absolutely. In fact, I'd say food, nature, very homey. There's a homey feeling around you, but not just for the environment, but for you to you. So you're really in a kind of cozy time for yourself. You'll get out. You'll do more, you know, more things. But actually expect this, you know, not just for you, Anna. There's other people I can see on the phone lines and that are listening that are going through something very similar. Go with the downtime that you're feeling because you're filling up. You're connecting into those inner aspects of you, those deep inner wells. You're getting your roots. You know, the other thing I feel with you is you're getting a new routine down that nurtures you. So you need to kind of live it for a bit so that it becomes part of your foundation. So no, I don't see, let's see, does Anna, is there anything she needs to know right now other than what she's doing? No, you're doing it. Now, are you, the only thing that I do feel, and I don't know what exactly type this is, they're not being real specific. It could be even just journaling of some sort. They are saying the writing, especially as it gets colder, more in the late fall and winter months, you might find yourself writing more, you know, a nice big cup of tea or, you know, coffee or something. And then I can see like a woolly sweater and writing. So I do feel there's something that will be coming out, emerging through you through this process, but it's showing, no, you're right doing what you need to be doing.
Yay, no guilt. Okay, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we listen, and it's contrary to what we think, you know, what our constructed ego thinks we have to be doing. Yeah. No.
I shouldn't totally be freaking out. I should be trying to, you know, get a job, get more resources together, and I'm not. I'm really happy.
No, that'll come. You have to get this part of you anchored more, you know, it being second nature. You will naturally start going out and getting those things and those ambitions. That'll come back, but in a different way, in a way that this part of you is more firmly rooted. And I see this for you and quite a other people. I can feel them in the, you know, the listeners, other listeners. So please, this is going out to you as well. Enjoy that because when things do get really busy, you know, rocking and rolling and moving, you will at least be able to say, I had that downtime. I needed that downtime. You know, I feel more connected to myself and my environment. Really important right now is this part of the shift, the body and our environment, really nurturing, caring for the body, healing the body so that it can handle these higher frequency energies and really be that receptacle of your more expanded self. And environment so important. So, no, Anna, thank you. You're doing it.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Thank you. Blessings.
Blessings. Okay. Hello, 646-729. You're on Awakenings.
Hey, Michelle. This is Owen calling.
Hey, Owen.
How are you?
Good. Oh, I'm doing great.
Great.
Just flowing with everything. Yeah. What's your question?
Great. I just have a really quick question about a job. I'm about to start school for massage in about 2 weeks. And, I called in to your show earlier about that, and you were right on and saw that coming, and so that's going to be happening. And, right now I'm just really kind of a little bit worried about money and a job, and I'm just wondering if you see anything coming up soon. I've been putting my resume out to different places and haven't.
Now, are you? Not of yet. Let's see. Oh, I think. When do you start the school?
In like 12 days.
Okay, because I feel it's after you start.
Uh-huh.
And there might even be something there or from somebody there. I'm kind of seeing part-time work right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that? Okay, good.
Because
I'm like, I'm not seeing full-time, but I do see a part-time position not far from the school, kind of local. And I don't know if there's a note. Is there a notice? It's either at the school or someplace that you're going to be going close to the school where there's a notice board. Interesting enough, right now I see a lot of bicycles near there.
Huh, interesting.
Do people ride their bike a lot where you're at?
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny, too, because I remember last time I called in, you said something similar about bikes and asked me if I was a biker, and I'm not, but yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
so
there's
I'll
something.
Keep
I keep seeing
mind.
Bicycles. So I don't know if it's like a school or whatever, college or but there's something there, and there's quite a, even I feel in the winter there's quite a few people cycling around you, kind of vibrant. So yeah, you will get something, you know, not too far off, you know, but it's after you start the school, and it's around the school is what I'm hearing.
Okay, cool. All right.
Go ahead.
Well, that's good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Hello, 832-247. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, this is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Do you have a question or comment?
I do. I have a question about my career. I'm kind of hoping that something comes up within my current company. It's a pretty good company that I work for, but I'm hoping for some sort of a training or teaching or something along those lines. Do you see anything like that happening?
Okay. Now, the one thing I feel, either did they just go through some kind of restructuring, reorganizing?
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling, So after, I feel like they're still feeling the aftermath of that, Melissa. I feel that's going on possibly the end of the year, but I would say more likely next year. And they may be even asking what I'm hearing for input. I don't know if they've done that yet with you.
With a group,
not particularly just you in person, but other people saying, almost like a team building thing or something. So they will. I feel like they're just coming out of this reorganizing, restructuring. I do feel some people were let go of, some things, people were moved around. So after that, I do feel that is definitely on their agenda. At least couple people are wanting that to take place. So I do feel it will, but, it's funny. I don't feel your company moves quickly. I feel like the changes that just went on were long in the making.
They were.
So give it some time. What you're needing and what you're feeling needs to happen will happen, but they're first having to, if you will, ground from this reorganization that they've just gone through.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be our very first meeting for some sales training. So, we're all kind of coming together for this one little dinner.
Then they're going to be asking. That's when they're going to ask you what you need or what you want or what your opinion is. And then from there, I do feel something put together.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
But I do see the input. You're so welcome. Keep us posted on how it goes.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Okay, I think we have time for one more. Hello, 609-468. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, Michelle. My name is Karen. How are you?
Hi, Karen?
Yes, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, a question. I put in for an application for a mortgage, and the guy's giving me a bit of a runaround saying he didn't get my emails and things going on like that. Now I'm wondering, am I ever going to move? I just signed my lease today because I need a place to live, but I'm just trying to get myself together.
You will, but I'm seeing I'm seeing more move on this in November. I'm going to have to look at the astrological aspects because everybody, there seems to be a little holding pattern right now. I feel the guy is stalling you a bit.
He is. That's what I keep feeling too.
Yeah, you're right. Trust your intuition. If you will, but things are delayed a little bit. You know, I always look at delays, even though our little constructed ego isn't wild about delays, but it's usually a protection from spirit. And it could be from something very minor and mild to something catastrophic. But it could be just not wanting to be inconvenient. So I would say hold your vision, be to your vision. You've got some more time where you're at is what I'm hearing. And reapproach it definitely after Scorpio time. There's just some interesting shifts and changes that are going on. And I don't feel you're going to get a straight answer from him anyway because he's stalling, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, your intuition was right on that. And then just be, you know, where you're at. You've got a good enough space where you're at right now. Don't push it. There's a lot of change. I would say for people that are wanting to buy or lock in things, you're going to see things go down even more, I would say, second quarter of next year. So you may be actually, your higher self may be putting a little doorstop in there saying, you know, you could get even a better deal, you know, if you wait.
Okay.
All right, Karen?
Okay. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
thanks for calling. Keep us posted.
I will. Thanks.
Yeah. And you can always go, everybody, to the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook. Like the page, of course. It would be great. But let us know how you're doing, how your unfolding is going, and, you know, how you're transitioning at this great time of awakening. It's people love reading those stories or knowing, you know, and sharing in each other's, you know, not just the ups and downs, but, well, what's working? What's working for you? What's working for us today? We have the author, medical intuitive, Peter Fairfield. He's a gifted healer and teacher. He's really hard to roll out for himself as a natural healer and an acupuncturist. He's nuanced in multiple disciplines. He's been an acupuncturist in the Esalen Institute. He founded an acupuncture school. He's taught acupuncture as well. He's also been a biofeedback therapist at UCLA, and he's presented more than 100 seminars nationally and has been the host of his own weekly radio and television programs. He also continues to do research and publish on various aspects of healthcare. I want to welcome Peter Fairfield to the program, author of Deep Happy.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, Peter. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I didn't know I was
so
coming
glad.
On. I had a mouthful of cashews. I had to chew them really quickly when I started introducing
you. Oh, well, it's a wake and surprise, right?
That's right.
But that is healthy. What a healthy snack to have at this time.
Yes.
Cashew. Yeah.
Well,
I already
finished my microwave cheeseburgers and my diet Coke.
Oh, good. So you're balanced.
Not really.
I love it. Good. No shadow material here. That's good. You're balanced.
I don't really eat that stuff, though, anyway.
No, you're just kidding, I know. Oh, gosh. Where to begin with you? First of all, I want to know how your awakening or how you got on this path, because as I was reading your material, I thought, boy, you've done quite a bit, obviously working energetically, working with, you know, homeopathically, intuitively as well, also as an acupuncturist. And I always wondered, I thought, as an acupuncturist, I'm sure you're in the fields, the resonant fields. If someone was really open, you would be able to receive information. Do you find that true?
Well, 100%. I mean, the thing is, we all receive all information from the universe all the time. It's just as, you know, most of us through our lives, we have learned to shut down, turn off, and limit ourselves. Even to things like happiness and pleasure, we limit ourselves. So as soon as we begin the process of opening and relaxing and, you know, making it okay to be ourselves again, we get all kinds of information. So do you want me to go back and finish the how I got into this, or do you want me to
I make a note. I wanted to, because I've got some things on the in regards to your book. We'll get into that. But really, you're unfolding, I think, would be very interesting for our listeners.
Okay. Well, I began when I was really young. You know, I always wanted to be a monk or a doctor, and I didn't really know much about that. And then when I was about 8 or 9, I think the story's in the book, and it's a story I tell a lot because it's important. Somebody told me about the word infinity, and I just could not imagine something that didn't begin or end, which is, you know, how that was explained to me. It went on forever. So this really puzzled me for some reason, and I didn't realize it was kind of a weird thing for a little kid to think about. But so eventually I decided that I would try to experience infinity. So I would close my eyes and just try to go to that place. It didn't begin or end. And one day, after a few months, I got there. And I thought, oh, yeah, right, this place. And then it went on. But from then on, that was some sort of door. Many years later, actually, when I was doing long retreat in the Himalayas when I was about 35, I realized that the practice I was doing was very similar to the experience of infinity, and that experience I had as a little boy was really a bridge that brought over some experiences I'd had from another time. And so from that time on, I would always, it opened me in a way that was so normal that I'd never thought about it being spiritual or unusual or whatever. But whenever I hear the word infinity, I would look to see if there was something there for me. And when I was about 15, I started to realize that there was something missing. There was something in me that I had to find. And I looked in philosophy, and it wasn't there. And I looked in psychology, and it wasn't there for me anyway. And when the 60s came along, I spent a lot of time checking out drugs and sex and rock and roll, really hoping it would be there. And it was a little bit, but it wasn't really the deep and profound thing I was looking for, although I gave it extra time just to make sure. And when I was 18, I started to learn. I first learned my first system of meditation, TM, back in New York. I was given the ancient lineage and transformation from a guy in a blue blazer and a red tie in some hotel in New York City. And that was actually the beginning. So I meditated on and off. And within a couple of years, I had lived in a number of spiritual communities and ashrams. I had been an only child in a very disturbed family, so I knew I had a lot of lessons to learn about living with people and that. So I put myself in these spiritual communities, A, because I felt an energy and I felt something in my heart that I'd never felt before. And also because so I could learn about people and learn about myself. And eventually I got into healing and began to try to find a system that not only would work with people physically, but also would have a really good understanding of them emotionally and even spiritually. And that led me in my very early 20s to Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and energetic work. I continued to do a lot of research and meditation, and I started practicing Qigong in the early 70s, and did some retreat back then, and I kept working on it and kept researching and kept developing. I ended up founding an acupuncture school in 1979 in California. We had a 4-year, 5,000-hour program that was really the most expensive thing. There's no school now that has that much. We were way ahead of our time and beyond our capacity to really maintain it. But it was profound. And then I was the acupuncturist at Esalen, and I kind of kept going and researching and trying to get better at what I was doing. And then when I was about 34, actually, I realized something was missing again. I just couldn't contain it. I'd given up my life a few times to go back and study spiritually. But this time I just, you know, I had everything in the material world. I had a relationship and a dog and a practice and a car and money and, you know, people liked me and I was good at my work, but there was something big, big missing. It flew in my heart. My heart was aching for something. And so I had always been interested in Oriental stuff. My dad was born in China. My grandparents were missionaries in China. I taught Chinese medicine. I'd never been to China. So I decided that I should go. So I gave it my practice and sold most things and put the rest in storage and went down to study Chinese for the summer. And Monterey. This would have been in the summer of 85. And I just kept having this feeling that what I wanted was a real spiritual awakening, and I just wasn't going to get it in China. That was my intuition. But a voice literally said, keep going. So one night, I was just feeling this frustration. I was down by the ocean in Monterey. And I just said, please, 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 whatever it takes, whatever I have to give up, just take me to the next level. And these symbols of light just burst from my heart. I just saw them going out into space. And a day or two later, I was meditating after the class, and this face appeared to me. And it looked at me, turned sideways, and when I came out of my meditation, I just decided I wasn't going to think about it, talk about it. If it was something real, then it was. And so I ended up, and the next day after that, I got a letter from China because I had planned to go there to study at the Shanghai Academy of Traditional Medicine, which is kind of the Harvard of Chinese medicine. But the deal I had set up fell through, and so I went to Taiwan. To make a long story short, when I was in Taiwan, I was sort of led to a number of places, and finally I got a call saying, do you want to meet some llamas? Be in front of your house in 5 minutes. And so I went downstairs, and this old Chinese man in a silk robe came in a taxi and drove me one block away. And when I went into this house in Taiwan, the older houses, the downstairs are sort of like a garage. And when I walked in, there was a picture of a Tibetan llama with a headdress and glasses and stuff on a desk.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, that looks like the face that I saw in my meditation. This was about 2 months later. I went, no, they all look alike. I'm just making this up. So I went upstairs and led into a bedroom where these two llamas from Nepal were. And on the night table by their bed was the exact face that I'd seen in my vision.
Mm.
So I said, who's that? I know that person. And that was their teacher in Nepal. And so they asked me if I wanted to go with them, and I said, well, you know, I just enrolled in a Chinese medical college in Kaohsiung. I was even on Chinese TV, but sure, I'll go. And so 10 days later, we flew off to Nepal, and that was the beginning of the 7 years of living in the Himalayas. I mean, previous to that, I had lived with a Taoist priest for a year in the mountains of California and a lot of other things, but this was really diving in. And so not only did I do a lot of long retreat when I was there, but I had a practice where I treated most of the high Nyingma and Kagyu Lamas in the world and really got to look at what all the practices were doing to people. I eventually went on to China and looked at what all the Qigong practices were doing to many of the masters there and did long retreats and training myself. And so I got a good sense of how the body worked. As you mentioned, I had been I'm going back and forth here, but I had been a biofeedback therapist at UCLA and the Mass Rehab Hospital in Boston, so I had a good sense of how to interact with the human body with awareness and consciousness. So that, with all my research and experience with my own practice and then doing all these spiritual practices.
It's interesting because it sounds like, Peter, you've been working with energy, you know, kind of following the resonance all along, you know, where the openings are. You listen. Do you find you always listened from a young age? And if you can help us, what helps people to listen more to that inner knowing?
Once you begin to relax a little bit, I mean, if you're so stressed that you're just eating or drinking or doing something, you know, and avoiding yourself, it's hard to tell. But even then, you know, there's an ache, there's something you're yearning to do, or you just get a feeling you have to go somewhere. I've been with my wife about 4 years, and she's getting used to me now. We'll be late somewhere, and I go, no, we've got to stop here. Well, we know where I know that we've got to stop here. And either we would find someone, we'd meet someone we're supposed to meet, not all the time, but most of the time. So she begrudgingly acknowledges that. So we just have to trust our intuitions and try it out.
Mm-hmm. So it really is the trust aspect of the more you trust. Do you find the more you trust that the guidance opens more or is more consistent? Do you feel that has any bearing at all?
Of course, yes. But we can test the universe. You know, this isn't please, get in, I'm good enough. The universe is giving to everybody all the time. And you could test it. You know, Yogananda, I love this story. I tell it all the time. Yogananda, the great Indian sage that came over to America in the 30s, he's probably the first real Indian states come to America that I know. Anyway, he would leave his house and he would say, okay, Lord, and I apologize for my Indian accent. Okay, Lord, I need 3 rupees in 45 minutes for the train. He'd always have it. Yeah, somebody would give it to him. He'd find it, something. He'd always have it. It wasn't he was on an ego trip. But he just said, okay, this is what I need. Thank you. And we just assume that it's going to be okay, and we can test it. I've got a lot of stories in my book, Deep Happy. That's I want to make sure you mention that, because a lot of what I'm talking about is in that. But,
right. But
you know, if we just experiment, the universe will tell us exactly. Like, a number of years ago, is it okay if I tell a story?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. A number of years ago, I went to the San Francisco Jazz Festival to hear two African bands, and the first one was great, and the second one I thought was having a bad night, a little bored. Or at least that's what my mind told me. So I went out to the lobby, and there's only one other person there, and that was a woman I started talking to. She turned out to be the manager of the first band. And so we were talking, and when she found out I was an acupuncture, she said, oh, well, you know, the band is having kind of bouts of malaria. They come over from Africa or from Mali. And would you mind coming to the hotel room the next day to treat them? So, you know, I had toured with Pink Floyd in the past, and I've always treated lots of professionals and musicians and stuff. So I said, sure. So I went there, and we had such a great time that they invited me to go to Mali with them the following January, and because they were going to be playing at the Festival of the Desert, which is an incredible festival. It's 60 miles north of Timbuktu in the middle of the Sahara, where the almost most amazing music happens every year. So, of course, I said yes. And my girlfriend at the time was a musician, and so we went and had a great time. But on the way back, we decided that we would visit Morocco. And we had never been. We couldn't decide. We kept arguing where we would want to go. So I said, well, let's try an experiment. About 8 years before that, I had known a Moroccan Sufi teacher who had come to the United States. And I had lost all connection with him, but I said, let's let the universe guide us to him. So I said, we're going to land at the airport. We're going to go to the train station, which is right next door. I think it's in Marrakesh. And then we're going to walk around, and we're going to wait for somebody to say, have you ever been to? And then we'll go. So sure enough, about a few minutes later, we're walking around, kind of waiting for somebody to come up to us. And somebody came up and said, have you ever been to Fez? Sorry, my Moroccan accent sounds a lot like my bad Indian accent. have you ever been to Fez? And I said, no, but we're about to buy a ticket. Thank you. So we went. We bought a ticket for Fez. You know, the car has, you know, the train has maybe 8 or 10 cars, and every car has maybe 8 compartments, and every compartment has, you know, 2 bench seats for 3 people. So we got on our assigned car and our assigned compartment. We sat down. A gentleman came in, sat right across from us. He was a very distinguished-looking Moroccan man with a 3-piece suit. And he was reading a book that I could see very clearly in English that said, Buddha in the Suburbs. So I thought, I got to talk to this person. So, of course, I did. And after about 10 minutes of a conversation, I said, by the way, have you ever heard of a man named Sidi Amin Kastas? He paused and smiled and goes, yes, of course, he's a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in a few years, but he lives in Fez. So we thought, wow, we're doing really good. It took us 45 minutes to get on the train going to the right city. But it got better. The very next stop, a woman came in, got into our car, sat down right next to me, and after a few moments started talking to the gentleman across from us. And about 10 minutes after that, again, he said, she knows Kostas. The man we were looking for was this young girl's advisor at the university. So that night, we had his phone number, his email. He wasn't Fez. And the next night, he came to dinner. And, you know, he wasn't at all surprised at how we found him because that's how he lived his life. So there was no downside. If we went to another city, it's okay. You know, we were just experimenting. But we were totally open. And we gave the universe parameters with which to show us.
Mm-hmm. You put it out there.
We put it out there, and we listened, and we went for it. And, you know, we weren't afraid. We just tried it out. It was kind of fun.
Well, I think that spirit of play goes a long way also. You know, it you start attracting more. It's definitely higher vibration, if you will. Peter, one of the things you have a whole chapter of this in your book. I want to get to that. Getting used to happiness on 3 levels. I thought that was interesting, the whole concept of even having to get used to happiness. Can you speak to that?
You know, so many of us, you know, we go around seeking happiness with everything, most of the things we do, you know, whether it's buying clothes or watching TV or going for a walk or just having a job just so we can pay our bills, just so we can have a place to live and be happy. Almost everything we do has to do with being happy, and yet so few of us allow our bodies to experience bliss and pleasure. And so it takes a while, actually, for most people, especially in our post-Victorian culture, to be okay to feel physical pleasure. And I don't mean just, you know, intimately, but just say you see a beautiful sunset. You go, oh, beautiful, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we stop? We actually look at the colors. We feel how the colors will affect our body. We kind of breathe the colors into our marrow. And so the whole idea of happiness and pleasure, satisfaction, are things which almost everyone can really take in at a much deeper level. And this is healthy. You know, we can heal with bliss. We can heal with pleasure. We can heal with happiness. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to, you know, have sex 18 times a day, although if you could do that, go for it. But you might not get much done. But it does mean that whether we're being intimate with somebody or we're enjoying our food or we're looking at art or listening to music, just walking down the street and enjoying the chatter of those around us, it's okay to take that happiness not just superficially, but all the way to our marrow. So when I talk about three levels, I mean, the first level is just allowing ourselves to be happy, allowing ourselves to take it in, as we've been talking about. The second level is to experience a joy in the world, to not only share our vibes with the world and let that extend out, but it's also to enjoy the happiness of the world. I mean, even though there's so much craziness going on, you can always walk down the street and see someone that's happy, or you can see a couple dogs rolling in a yard, or you see a little squirrel climbing up a tree, or you see the sun glistening off a little bit of dew. Experience the happiness in the world around you. And you'll find that nature actually speaks to you and interacts with you, and you'll get all kinds of information, either vocally or vibrationally. And then the third way is really allowing the universe, allowing our happiness and our sense of connection to really connect to the universe in a much bigger way. Those are at least three of the ways.
So in a sense, I'm hearing moving past just the personal, more into the transpersonal, the collective,
but really going into the personal. So much of it's minimized, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you need
both, don't you?
Yeah, because I deal with biology and bodies and people, and that's really what my healing and transformational work is really focused on. So I think about that. We have over 100 trillion cells in the body. And now, it's interesting, 90% of our cells aren't human. They're fungus and bacteria and have very different genetic sources.
Interesting.
But they're very small. So it's only 10 to 20% of body weight. But all those cells are in communication with the whole. And they do that by electromagnetic resonance. And so, and every cell is, you know, a tiny cell. You can't even see it with the eye. It takes a really high power microscope to see a good cell. Many of the cells have as many as 100,000 bonding sites on the inside, and each little cell has its own little physiology with small little organs and flows and membrane potentials, all kinds of stuff. Each cell is complicated. 100 trillion, that's a big number. And they're all connected. So in that same way, we as individuals, as people, as humans, are connected to the universe. We are cells in the universe. We are cells in the infinite. And it's easy to think, oh, I'm nothing. You know, what am I? You know, you look out at the window and you see the sun and the mountains and a big city and you just feel alone sometimes. But the truth is we're never alone. You know, we're like an ice cube floating in a glass of water saying, I'm alone. Relax a little bit. Warm up.
Yeah, right. Warm up and melt.
That's right. So as we begin to let ourselves resonate and to communicate with ourselves, we begin to notice that we're in communication with all that there is. You know, we think, well, we're so small, or we think that, you know, our time on Earth is so insignificant, but time and space are what is not real. I love it when you hear somebody that's really located in their frontal cortex saying, "Well, I only believe what I can touch and feel."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what you can touch and feel isn't real. When you look at the nature of reality in quantum physics or whatever, it's just space and light. So what you're demanding that something's not real is your reality. The big reality, the real reality, is the infinite. It's the universe. It's the all and everything. It's the sum total of all consciousness that meets, and we're a part of that, and we're an important part of that. No matter how lowly we may feel, or how unimportant we may be in our earth or our life, or what a bad day we're having, we're still connected to the infinite. Now, in my book Deep Happy, the main premise of that is that inside of everyone, there's a place that's already happy. There's a place that's already peaceful and calm and connected and feels pretty good. And it's beneath the personality. It's at the energetic core of our being. But it's a biological imperative. It's where we all connect. Now, we get traumatized or habituated to being unhappy. We're in families where emotions are shut down or that are aggressive or that don't feel much or feel too much or crisscross their feelings, and we get conceptual ideas about what's good for us or what's not good for us, and we learn patterns in school and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, inside each of us is wisdom, feeling, connection, warmth, openness. And when we get used to finding that place and being in that place, then we still might be a little disgruntled on the outside. We might be a little anger, even a little worried. But it's only superficial, because inside of us we realize and we experience moment to moment that we're okay. And that's the message of my book, Deep Happy.
You also talk about in your book, each moment contains the essence of everything. Each moment is an entire universe when we let go of time. Now, that was a pretty profound, encompassing statement.
You actually read my book.
Yes.
Good for you. A lot of people just read the question. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No. I read the. If I only read the questions, it's going to be like what everybody else asks you. That's no fun.
No. You're great. I really appreciate that. Well, the thing is, in the stillness of the moment, and I'll probably say this a lot less well than all the great mystics in the world, but in the stillness of the moment, time stops. Time and space are not important. And it's that moment when infinity is at our beck and call. Because as we find stillness and connect to that place inside us that is still, even in the midst of chaos, we find that we are, that's the source. The source is in stillness. And the source is at the center of all of us, no matter how crazy we seem. No matter what political party we connect ourselves to. Even the craziest people we know, somewhere inside them, have a Buddha, have a deep happy, they have a Christ consciousness. It's just what they're playing out right now. And that is experienced in stillness. And that's, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to have white clothes on sitting in a lotus position on some sort of silk pillow. It just means that for a moment, you stop and you listen to the silence. And even on the loudest, craziest day, even at a guitar shop with a lot of young students trying out cheap guitars, that just sounds very raucous, you can find stillness. And that's the mystery. That's the great mystery. I think that's what I was trying to say.
One thing I'd like in your book, it's and you've touched on it here, is that it's this, you even say in the tagline, how to get there and always find your way back, that it's there inside you, and it's about reconnecting to that. It's not something outside you or something that you're creating. You may have to learn to get there, but it's already there within you.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of people say, well, why do you learn to be happy? You know, why do I have to learn to be happy? You know, I can just get something new or have a good meal or something. Well, that's true. And we want a lot of that happiness if we can have it. But, you know, I can walk and I can read and I can ride a bike and I can do a number of things, okay. But I can study and learn to do them better. And it's so easy to forget in our world that demands our superficial attention, that there's this place inside us that's okay, and that we don't need to get anything, we don't need to have anything, we don't need to become better, we don't need to do something different. We just need to let go of all the things we're trying to do and just be. And in that moment, we find ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm 63, and when I look in the mirror, maybe this is over denial, but when I look at me, there's a part of me that's the same as it's always been. Whether I was six or 10 or 20, you've had that experience.
Absolutely. And my dad is 80, says that doesn't go away.
Right. But that person that's experienced that, the similarity that's beneath the body, beneath the personality, that's the place where we begin to feel deep happy. Because that's the part of us that doesn't change. That's the part of us that's us. And that's the it's not our physical personality where most of our emotions and all that stuff is. It's a deeper personality, sort of a soul personality. And that's really where we connect to deep happy. So if you think back, anybody who's listening wants to try this, just to think about the you that's the same. Like, how are you the same when you were in elementary school, or high school, college, or whatever you did? What part of you is always the same? When you look in the mirror, the you that's looking out from those eyes that feels the same, that's the part that surprisingly doesn't feel the vagaries of emotional ups and downs in the world. That's the part that's always okay. Now, it goes deeper from there. But that's the beginning of that doorway. Now, in the book Deep Happy, I have a lot of practices and suggestions about how to undo the various parts of us that keep us from feeling that all the time. And I have a lot of chapters on different ways to look at it and different levels and so forth, ways to understand it. But the basic thing is just to find this part of you that doesn't change. We all have it. We've all experienced it. It's inside. And you don't have to get anything. Well, maybe in my book. But besides that, even if you don't get the book, you can still find it. I hate to say it, but it's true.
But at least a book, systemizes or codifies it. It puts it in a place where we can enter in that realm, without fumbling and bumbling. It gives it's like a map. It gives you an entry point. And I also love how you talk about the ancestral part, the body, that we have a part. And a lot of people don't talk about that, but there is a biology, there is that link. And then there is that link, like you're saying, that is that unchanging.
I spent over 40 years really looking at the physiology of personality and spiritual development from both an Eastern and a Western perspective. And we have several parts. We have an ancestral lineage, as you mentioned. That's not just a genetic, but there's also an energy, a morphogenic field that connects us to all of our ancestors. And so that comes in the body. When I'm working with somebody either on the phone, and I treat people all over the country on the phone, or in my clinic in Mill Valley, California, it's very easy for me to assess. I learned to do this from pulse diagnosis, and I can also do it from the voice. The exact personality of the parents and the influences that are still residing in the person's body. And so the influences and the style of being from our parents can be very specific, but it can also be easily undone. Now, so we have those two strains from both parental lineages, although some people may be impregnated by aliens. That's a whole different thing. I don't profess to be able to identify that, but when I watch TV, I know there's some people that didn't come from here. The other lineage that we have is our direct spiritual lineage. Now, when you look at the physiology of that, the embryo, the developing fetus, the heart is actually begins up by the crown chakra. And as the little baby develops inside the mother, the heart comes down into the chest. And there's a direct link from the heart up to the crown chakra and then up to the higher dimension. So the parental connection that actually comes up through the kidneys and into the system.
Why it's third chakra. It's more, interesting.
Yeah.
The parental.
And then,
branch.
Right. And then, actually first and second. And then our spiritual connection actually comes down, transduces down from the higher levels down through the head, down into the heart. And so then we become fully human when we begin to connect our spiritual awareness through the heart with our genetic and familial connection through the kidneys, and this is done through the central channel. So when I work with people, that's the process. When I work with them on the phone or in the clinic and they want to do transformational work, we begin to open up those various parts. And it's quite profound how quickly people move not only through their personality patterns and their limitations and their blocks and their places where they feel stuck and the place where they're not in their life, but also to very specific physical and emotional symptoms as well, depression or low back pain. Work with a guy today that's on dialysis, all kinds of things.
So you do, Peter, now I know you also do workshops, you travel quite a bit, also speaking engagements, but workshops. So you have your private sessions, which you do in person and by phone, right?
Yes. We have a clinic in Mill Valley, California, in Marin County, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge, so the Center for Health and Happiness. And then I do about half my practices on the phone with people. Well, actually, it's all over the world now. And so it's quite, we developed a system of helping somebody going into their own body, and we create an energy field, and I think it's at least as powerful on the phone. And then we're just setting up tours around the country to do Deep Happy seminars. And all of this is on our website, deephappylife.com. That's deephappylife.com. And all of it's there. We have a seminar coming up in Seattle. Where are you located?
I'm in the Los Angeles area, but we reach people internationally, you know, nationally, internationally. We have, you know, France, Italy.
Yeah.
Got a ready email.
Well,
you know,
we're looking
Australia.
And actually, if you have a minute to call me back after this, I'd like to talk to you because we're going to set one up in L.A. Maybe you can be part of that. If you're interested. But so we're setting up national series right now. We have one coming up in Seattle. I have one coming up near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. We're doing Atlanta. We're doing a couple cities in Florida. I think Fairfield, Connecticut. We'll be doing a couple in the California area, Phoenix, Santa Fe. So if somebody's interested in coming to one, you can sign up for our mailing list at deephappylife.com. If you're interested in helping us organize one in your area, if you have a few friends, then we're always happy to talk to you. We've ended up in some really interesting places because of that. And you know, if you're interested in talking about maybe to see if it's right for you to work with me one-to-one, then, again, you can just get in touch with me through deephappylife.com.
So, obviously, on the web, let's see, Trish in the chat is, yes, will you be in Phoenix?
Phoenix is one of the
Arizona
cities that
area.
We'd like to come to, and I've been talking to several people about helping me organize it there. You know, I sort of have to have somebody on the ground and to help us do that, but Phoenix is definitely there's a guy named Paul Landis who actually has a show there too that we've talked to, and so if you're coming to Phoenix, then you know, if you're in Phoenix, and just get in touch with our website, and we'd love to talk to you again. Maybe you can help set it up.
And maybe, you know, I think that's the best way. I mean, organically, if one, two, even then, you know, then there's always more that want to attend.
Yeah.
But you're right, talking to somebody that's there already. So going to your website, deephappylife.com, they can just email you via the website. And I would suggest to people, if you want to do something or bring him there, you know, put that in the email as well, you know.
Yeah, and you can also call me. My direct number is on the website, 415-377-0862. Happy to take calls. And anyway, it's fun. People are really liking this. We do a workshop, usually an intro night, Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday. And by Sunday, everybody's just glowing. And we've gotten rid of a lot of stuff. People are finding out different skills that they have they didn't know they had. And they let go of a lot of things they thought they had to carry around. And people just feel better at the end. It's been just magic what's happening.
Well, one thing that I really did really like about your book is it isn't just, you know, happy ha-ha or, you know, just meditate or, you know, focus on yourself or just focus on your breath or, you know, or look around you in gratitude. I mean, I think all those things are good, but there are those, especially once you start doing that, there are layers and levels that people need to get to that I find are, you know, more lasting connectors to themselves. And you do go into some of that and giving, you know, tools, you know, like you said, the way to find your, you know, how to get there and the way to find yourself back there, how to lead back. So I really was appreciative of that aspect of your book.
Well, I'm a nuts and bolts kind of guy. You know, I've been out in a lot of different dimensions.
Okay.
But I like to see how things work. I've probably seen 70,000 patients in my career, so I have at least some idea where people get stuck and what they need to move through. So Deep Happy is designed as a very simple, happy, fun book with some interesting things, interesting stories to kind of propel you. And yet there's all kinds of little techniques about how to make simple progress with yourself. And if somebody's reading the book and they have a question about it, I'm always happy to talk to you on the phone or to email you back about anything. It's meant to help the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. You know, and it's so timely, too, because in this time, we are to be living more fulfilled, more happy, but happy that's, you know, deep, that's resonant, that's true to us. And there's not a lot of, you get a lot of maps out there showing how, you know, how to get there. So,
and you know, there's so much false information out there. The whole blogosphere is just based on rumor and innuendo, and then all of a sudden it becomes news and reality. And
mm-hmm.
the politicians are saying this and that, and health claims are here and there, and the economy is shifting, yes, and positive, depending on who wants to win for president, and all kinds of stuff, that we forget that we have a truth-o-meter right in our own heart. Right in our own tummy. And once you begin to just feel a little connected to yourself, when somebody's lying or is disconnected, your tummy will actually feel bad. And when somebody's telling the truth, your heart will feel good. And so it's all right inside us. And so that's part of Deep Happy, but it's also part of just unveiling the wonders that is us once we begin to allow ourselves to be us and be in our body again.
Mm-hmm. Body's so important in this part of the shift. So right,
it
Peter,
is.
It's so important that, you know, in the old days, people wanted to get out, you know, get out of the body. We're here almost begrudgingly. Let's get out, you know, and it's like, no, this part of the shift requires we go deeper in the body, you know, that, right? There's no escape.
Yeah. Well,
celebrate
it. There's a great quote from the Vedas, a 4,000-year-old series of texts and wisdom from India that says the mind is the body. And it's one of the problems with modern psychiatry.
Yeah.
They're giving all these drugs for the brain, but the real emotions happen in the body. If you feel anxious, there's a place in your upper part of your tummy where the anxiety is. If you're feeling depressed, there's a numb feeling in your chest and a tight feeling in your diaphragm, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these things which seem effusive and disconnected, all these feelings that make us happy or unhappy are actually in the body. And as soon as you start to be aware of, well, if I'm feeling anxious, where am I feeling that? Or if I'm feeling sad, where do I feel that? As soon as you find the part of your body that actually has that feeling and breathe into it, it begins to change in moment. We have so much power to heal ourselves. So that's some of the work I do with people on the phone, but it's also in the book.
Great. Well, thank you, Peter, so much for taking time out of your schedule to share with us. Really appreciate it, and appreciate the book that you've written.
Well, thank you. And look, if you have a moment, call me after the show. I'd love to talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I
love being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Peter. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
And our guest today was Peter Fairfield, author of Deep Happy, How to Get There and Always Find Your Way Back. I love that. Love the idea that it's inside you and it's, you know, and how to always find your way back, you know. So that's important. We need to have those systems, those ways of connecting into the truth of who we are. Thank you, listener participants, for being here on Awakenings. Always, you really make the program. And those of you listening later in the archives, iTunes, as well as the other outlets that we broadcast through, thank you for your continued support. You are co-creating this with all of us. And thank you, listener participants in the chat room. As always, you're my co-host. Thanks for helping and anchoring the energies. I appreciate it so much. Again, connect with us on our Awakenings Radio page. page on Facebook. Let us know how you're doing. There will also be information about the Soul Path groups in person and the teleconference ones as well. Or you can always email awakenings@selfinlight.com for questions or comments. And also let us know where and how you listen to Awakenings. We're still doing the giveaway for that as well. And again, our guest was Peter Fairfield. The book is Deep Happy, How to Get There and Always Find Your Way Back. And you can find out more information about Peter Fairfield and his healing practice and his workshops by going to deephappylife.com. All right, see you next Wednesday. And as always, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.